All right, to both say good morning, a good night to everyone. Our shiur this morning is dedicated by Gil Horowitz. Unfortunately, his grandmother, Zichrona Livracha, was nifteres last night. Levaya is today in South Africa. So we dedicate our learning Le'ilui Nishmas Esther Fega Bas Yitzchok in the hope and in the merit of our Talmud Torah and the Shamo have an Aliyah. The family and the Chava. So let's begin. So first, Yashukach to Yehuda for giving the daf yesterday. We're going to pick up where Yehuda left off. The last two lines, Pei Gimel. Today's daf is Pei Dalet 84. We're picking up the last two lines, Pei Gimel Amud Beis, right by the beginning of the Gemara. So let's remember again, the Mishnah spoke about the variety of different cases. Well, the Mishnah spoke about two categories of cases. Right. Ultimately, again, the first category of cases is where selling a part does not necessarily equate with selling the whole. And then the second part of the Mishnah dealt with cases where you bought one thing, you thought you were buying one thing, but it turned out to be something else. And we had different variations of that case. Cases where ultimately, again, it was the Mocher's mistake, it was the Lokach's mistake. So based on that, the Gemara is going to get into a couple of very interesting conversations. Amar Chista. So Chista says the following. Machar lo shava chamish b'sheish v'hukar v'amid al shmoros. Well, so listen to this case. So I go ahead, I sell Reuven an object. Whatever the object is for now is irrelevant. But I sell him an object that is worth 5 zuz, but I sold it to him for 6 zuz. So I overcharged the purchaser. So what's, and then what happens? V'hukar, the item appreciated, v'amid al shmona. That I appreciated and now became worth actually 8. So we'll say, even though I overcharged him at the outset, lamaisa, the actual present value of the item is actually more. So I overcharged him by a sixth, which again, these cases are very specifically constructed, but it turns out that now the item appreciated. So minisana, so we'll say, since the shaila is the voidability of this particular transaction. So minisana, so who is at the disadvantage? Lokeach. So we'll say, obviously, in this case, what we do is we gauge a transaction based on the realities in place at the time of the transaction, not based on realities that perhaps evolve post-transaction. So therefore, in this case over here, the Lokeach, the purchaser, ultimately suffered ona because he overpaid by a sixth. So says the Gemara, therefore, Lokeach yachalachzer bovelo mocher. Ultimately, again, the purchaser has the ability to void the sale if he wants. But of course, the mocher, the seller, does not. Top of pay, dalav and dalav. Why not? Domerle, because we'll say the Lokeach, the purchaser, could always say to the seller, Ilu lo omnisan, lo hava matiz hadras bach. So had you not overcharged me, you would not have the ability to renege on the sale. Hashta do omnisan matiz hadras bach. Now that you did overcharge me, do you think that you have the right to go ahead and renege on the sale? So of course, Hashem will say, because in this situation, it was the lokech, it was the purchaser who was put at a disadvantage, therefore he has the right to void the sale. And again, his ability to void it is despite the fact that now what? He's actually at an advantage. He's at an advantage because although at the time of the transaction, he overpaid, but now Lemaisa, again, the item has significantly appreciated. But despite that, he has the right to go ahead and renege on the sale. The Mocher does not. The Tanatuna, we have this is supported by our Mishnah. How is it supported by our Mishnah? Yafos v'nim tzu ros. The Tavos said, ultimately, again, if I agree to sell Reuven Yafos, superior items, and it turns out that they were ros, that they were inferior. However, we're going to gauge that. So, lokeach yachol lachzer bavelo mocher. The purchaser has the right to renege on the sale. Really, I should call it to void it. And not the mocher, and not the seller. So, fine, we'll say that's statement number one. Bavon Rav Chista said, mocher lo shave sheish b'chamish. Flip case. I sold Reuven something worth 6 zuz, and I sold it to him for 5. So, we'll say it's also a case of oh no. But in this case over here, the one who suffered the ona ultimately was who? Was the seller. So in case number one, it was the purchaser who suffered from the ona. In case number two, it is the seller who suffered from the ona. So what happens? Machar lo shave sheish b'chamish v'huzlu. And then I will say what happens? The item depreciates. So I sold Reuven the object that was worth 6, and I sold it to him for 5. And now, subsequently, v'huzlu v'amdu al gimel. Who suffered the ona over here? It was the mocher. Ultimately, again, it was the purchaser, it was the seller who suffered the issue. Actually, it was the seller who was the victim of the ona, because remember, he undercharged. Therefore, again, Mocher Yochel Lachzerbo, V'lo Lokeach. Ultimately, the seller has the ability to void the sale and not the purchaser. Da Amar Lei, because the seller could say to the purchaser, Ilu lo nisan lahava masis hajichbach, had there not been ona'a, you would not have been had the right to void the sale. Hashta matis hajichbach, now that there is ona'a, do you think you should be able to void the sale? V'tana tuna, and I will say we have a bryce, our Mishnah supports this very idea. What does our Mishnah say? Ro'os v'nimtzu yafos. Our Mishnah says, there will say, if I sold Reuven an object, whatever the commodity is, and I was sold him Ro'os, again, I was selling him an inferior object, and it turned out that's what? That in fact the object was Yafa. What's the halacha? Mocher Yochel Lachzerbo V'lo Lokeach. So again, I will say, in that case, the seller has the ability to go ahead and renege, because he is the one who suffered the Ona, V'lo Lokeach, and not the purchaser. So we'll say, so the Gemara asks a very simple question. My kamashmalan, masnisini. Rav Chisda, why do you have to mention these cases? This is just pretty much restating the Mishnah. What the Mishnah said, we'll say, is that any case where there's what? Any case where essentially what I thought I was buying or what I thought I was selling turns out not to be the item I thought I was buying, I thought I was selling. Whoever is at a disadvantage has the ability to renege on the sale. I don't want to use the word, I keep using the word renege. Has the right to void the transaction. That's it. That's it. So Rav Chisda is just saying this in a different way in the Mishnah, but he's essentially restating the Mishnah, and specifically when it comes to the laws of Ona, to which the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the novelty is. Imimas Nisin, Hava Amina, Imimas Nisin, Hava Amina, Dilma Rav Chisda Tarvaihu Matzi Hadribe. See, I would have, so the Gemara says, I would have thought, just from the statement of Rav Chisda, maybe in Rav Chisda's case, both parties have the right to void the transaction. I'm going to read this, then we'll look in the Rashbam. Umas nisin ha'asal ha'shalinan, dilokeach yochel lachzerbo. And the Mishnah is coming to teach you that what Rabbo is saying, that it is only the purchaser who has the right to renege. Now, before we go on, take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. It's almost right across the Rashbam. Ma'ik kamash malon, umas nisin hi. So I would have thought the following. In Rav Chisda's case, Rav Osai, where essentially the novelty of Chisda's case is that Rabbo said there's ona on both ends. Why is there ona on both ends? There's an initial ona that takes place because of a variation on the purchase price. But then remember, in Rav Chisda's case, there's significant appreciation or depreciation, one way or the other. So I would have thought in Rav Chisda's case, both parties have the right to void the transaction, because at the end of the day, there's ona on both sides. Umas nisin. Now, Bosin, this is the Havamina. The Havamina is, I would have thought Rav Chisda's case is Dafka situation where you could have both parties void the transaction. The Mishnah, however, and again, Bosin, I want to be clear, this is a Havamina. Look at the Mishnah, look at the Rashbam. Umas nisin, bedeleka ona'a klal, ela bishavyehan machro. I would have thought the Mishnah's case, Rav Osai, is a situation ultimately, again, where there is no ona, ella b'shavya machra. Rather, again, the item was sold for its value. Va'achshav toin eini chafetz be'elu. And now, what happens? Now, the purchaser says, "I don't want these items." Hilchach b'mech b'machar yafos v'nimtzu ros yochol lokeach lach zorbo de'amar le yafos bakashti u'michitos aval imba. First white line in the Rashbam. Shemek gamani achzor shemekach tosu halokeach omer lo enotos shafani bicheskas ralakachtim. So let's go back to the Gemara now for just a moment. I might have thought that in the case of Rav Chisda's case, Rabbi Osai, is a case of where both parties have the right to void the transaction, because there is essentially a double-sided ona. How so? Ona, number one, takes place in the changed purchase price.
Ona number two takes place in what? In the significant depreciation, subsequent depreciation or appreciation. But in the Mishnah's case, Rabbi said, I would have thought the following. In the Mishnah's case, umas nisin ha'asla shmoinon telokiach yachol achzerbo. So we'll say the novelty in the Mishnah's case is teaching me that the purchaser has the right to renege on the sale, if there's or not. Why? We'll listen to this. The Gemara says, in general, it's quoting over here the pasuk from Mishlei, ra ra yomer hakone. He's saying like this. When somebody is purchasing an object, the general derech of a purchaser is to what? Is to what? Is to denigrate the object that he's buying. Why does he try to denigrate the object that he's buying? Right? He's positioning himself to knock down the prices. So it's I might have thought that therefore when it turns out that a lokeach ends up getting an inferior object, maybe he can't claim mekachtos. Why can't he claim mekachtos? Because the pasha says, what was he doing the entire time already? He said, it's not so good. You're asking too much money. There's this, there's that. So I might have thought that if it turns out that, you know what, he really got an inferior object, then perhaps he cannot claim ona'ah. Because lemaisa, at the end of the day, he's probably spent the whole time denigrating this object. Kamashmalon, that even the kona has the ability to claim that kachdos, if indeed there was more than a sixth or more difference between the actual price he paid and ultimately, again, the value of the item. So we'll say, bottom line, it turns out that although Rav Chisda's case seems to be an exact copy of the Mishnah, I might have thought that in Rav Chisda's case, both could void the transaction. Kamash Malon, no, that only the affected party has the right to void the transaction. And from the Mishnah, the novelty is that even the purchaser has the right to claim ona, even though what? Even though he probably spent all of his time trying to denigrate the object in the first place. Fine. Weiter. Shchamis v'nim tzeis labanah. So I'll say one of the cases of the Mishnah was, if I agree to purchase red wheat from Reuven, and it turns out that what? That he sells me. Oh, actually, yeah. Let me read it to you. Shchamis v'nim tzeis labanah. I agree to purchase from him red wheat, and it turns out that he sells me white wheat, or vice versa. We'll say, what's the halacha? Shneim yecholim lachzor b'ana. We'll say, so both parties have the ability to void that transaction, because in a case like that, what the item that was agreed upon was not the item that was delivered. So we'll say, so the Gemara actually, interestingly enough, is not going to go into the kishkas of this case, but rather going to focus on a seemingly unrelated detail. Amar Papa, midiktani levana, shmamina, Hai Shimsha Sumkasihi. Well, say, interestingly enough, Rav Papa says, from the fact that it goes ahead and it calls the other wheat Lavana, what do we learn from here? We learn from here that the color of the sun, right, is red. And take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Midiktani Lavana Shmamina, Shachmosis, or Shachmosis Adumahi, Velo Shchora, Dashne Maros Yesh Bechitin, Velo Yoser, Levanos Vadumos, Umidikari Lechad Levana, Uleida Shachmosis, Shvamina Shachmosis Aduma, Vashem Chama Shiaduma Kar Lechitin. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, when we first read the Mishnah, we don't know what color Shachmosis is, right? Or what the Mishnah calls, right? The Mishnah calls Shachmosis. The Gemara says like this, what we do know is the following. There are two types of wheat. What are the two types of wheat? There's red wheat and there's white wheat. So that I know Levana is white. Therefore, again, it must be that what? It must be Shachmasis wheat is red. Now, where does Shachmasis wheat get its name from? It gets its name from Chama, from the sun, because the sun is red as well. Okay, now see why this is important in just a moment. So I say, how do we know the sun is red? Now, I'm going to tell you something amazing. So you say to yourself, how do you know the sun is red? Right, look up. Well, see, I have to understand something. For the Jew, all of my knowledge comes from Torah. So the way I know anything in this world is because either it's a pasuk, it's a mishnah, it's a gemara, it's a braisa, it's a medrash. That's how the Jew has his knowledge. The Jew doesn't have any knowledge by simply things that I see. Everything that I know to be true has to be rooted in the Torah. So the gemara says, how do I know that the sun is red? It's an incredible yesod. How do I know the sun is red? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you. So I shall pay. So teida tika samka tzafra upanya. We know because the sun is red in the morning and in the evening. Aye, but why isn't the sun red midday? Why don't we see the redness every single day? So the Gemara says, because nuhurinu delo bari. It's our sight that is not strong enough. In other words, what the Gemara is saying over here is, there might be other atmospheric conditions at play that we don't see the sun as is midday. But in the morning and in the evening, we see that the sun is red. And again, that's where all of this comes back to. We're trying to figure out where Shachmasis wheat got its name. So Shachmasis wheat got its name from the Chama, from the sun, which is red. So the Gemara says, but one second, Meisvei, is the sun really red? Umara amok mina'or by tzaras. The Torah describes the tzaras spot as amok. Amok literally means deeper than the rest of the flesh. To which the Brice explained, what does it mean by amok mina'or? Kemara chama amuka minatzel. Just as the sun has a deeper color than the shade. So the Gemara says, "V'hasam lavanu." So the Nabosei. Now remember, what's happening over here is the Gemara is comparing a tzara'as blemish, what the tzara'as spot looks like, to what? To the sun. Now, what color is tzara'as? White. So it seems to me, if it's comparing it to the sun, then the sun is also what? The sun is also white. To which the Gemara says, "Kimara chama v'lo kimara chama." Tzara'as is like the sun, but it's also not like the sun. How so? Kimara chama da'amuka minatzel. So tzara'as is like the sun. Is that just as the sun has a deeper color than the shade, so too again tzara'as has a deeper color than the rest of the flesh. V'lo kimara chama. But on the other hand, tzara'as is not like the sun. How so? De'ilu hasam lavan, because tzara'as is white. V'hacha adam. And ultimately, again, the sun is red. Olamai disalik daitin neikara. So as I say, now, remember, the Gemara entertained the possibility that what? That the sun was white. Right? So the Havamina, we say the sun is white. But here's the problem. Everyone agrees that what? The sun is red in the morning, and the sun is red in the evening. So if you entertain the possibility that the sun is white, how do you account for the red sun of the morning and the red sun of the evening? Both say, get ready for this. So the Gemara says, "Ulamai disalak adaitin dmeikara." That which we thought in the beginning, the havamina. So haka samka tzafro panya. How can you entertain the possibility that the sun is white when we see that it is red in the morning and red in the evening? Both say, get ready for this. I'll tell you why it's red in the morning. Btzafra dechalfa abevardi digan hidden. Both listen to this, Stephen. You came, Mamish, like the best day. Because you're going to take this back to Livingston, New Jersey. There are Jews there in Livingston?
There's a minion.
Okay, fine. So you'll take up, listen to this. So says the Gemara. See, I used to be a provincial New Yorker. Now I'm a provincial Baltimorean. You know, Baruch Hashem. So the Gemara says the following. So says the Gemara the following. Listen to this. So I say, how do we account, if it was a Havamina, that the sun is white, how do we account for the redness of the sun, the redness in the morning, redness in the morning, redness in the evening, to which the Gemara says, B'tzafra, techalfa be'bardi digan eden. In the morning, Rabbi Hussain, the sun passes by the rose garden of Gan Eden. Passes by the rose garden of the Garden of Eden. Sefer Rabosai, it's the redness of the rose garden that gives the sun its red color in the morning. Bepanya, techalfa pischa de Gehenim. And in the evening, the sun passes by the opening of Gehenim. So in the morning, it's the redness of the rose garden of Gan Eden that gives us its color. And in the evening, it is the redness of the opening of Gehenim that gives us its color. V'ika da'amri ipcha. Others say it's the opposite. That in the morning, it passes by. It passes by the opening of Gehenim, and that gives us its red color. In the evening, it passes by the rose garden, ultimately, again, of Gan Eden, that gives us its color. Say, so what's the message? We see a Gemara like this. It's yelling, Darshemi. There's a message here. So I think this is a very beautiful Yisod. The sun rising, the sun setting represents the beginning and the end of the day. There's a Sobosai, according to the first approach of the Gemara. So every single day begins with what? The promise of Gan Eden. Every single day begins with the promise of Gan Eden. But unfortunately, the nature of the human condition is such that what? By the day, time the day is over, we've turned the potential Gan Eden into Gehenna. The second approach says that every single day begins at the entrance of Gehenna. Why, Rabbi Hussein? Because like we spoke about on Shabbos, so much lost time, so many lost opportunities. I've messed up so much. But the beautiful part is, how does the day end? The day ends at the entranceway of Gan Eden. If you choose to turn your life around, like Rabbi Nachman said yesterday, Rabbi Nachman said it a while ago, but we said it yesterday, right? Narutza, mashchini acharecha narutza. If we choose to make up for lost time, if we choose to go ahead and pack it in, if we choose to maximize every single moment, that even if the day begins by the Pesach of Gehenim, it could end by the rose garden of Gan Eden. So Rabbi Mosai said, which mahalach is right? Which mahalach is right? And the answer is, they both are right. Rabbi Mosai, and the truth is, they could both be right. And they're not both right on the same day, but they could both be right from day to day. Every day is a choice. Every day I have the ability to go ahead and start my day out in Gan Eden, by the rose garden of Gan Eden. And it is my job not to let the redness turn into the redness of Gehenna. But conversely, even if for some reason my life is such that I'm starting out at the entranceway of Gehenna, I absolutely have the ability to turn my day and to turn my life around and to end it off by the rose garden of Gan Eden. The incredible, incredible Gemara. So I'll say, let's go weiter. Stephen, good? Good?
Yeah.
Good. That's it, yeah. It was, wow. All right. Sure. All right.
He's from New Jersey.
Okay. Maybe if I wore some overalls or something, it'd be a little bit better. All right. So says the Gemara. So let's go back to... I could say that. I'm from New Jersey also. I could say it. It says the Gemara. Siyayin v'nim tzachomet shnei michol lachzer. So we'll say, remember again, a little bit weiter. So remember again, if I go ahead and I sell Reuven wine, and it turns out to be vinegar. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? Both of us have the ability to void the sale. Right? Both of us have the ability to void the sale. So it says the Gemara. Lema masnisin rebihi velo rabbanon. Says ultimately say that our Mishnah reflects the view of Rebbe and not the Rabbanon. Rabbi said, why not? This is actually a fascinating Gemara. The Sanya, Amadeis. The Sanya, Yayin Bechometz Min Echotu. Because Rabbi said, ultimately again we learned that the Brisa says, Yayin and Chometz, wine and vinegar, are Min Echad, are one thing. Now I'll say, now what are we talking about over here? Take a look at the top Rashbam. Min Echadu, Vim Taram Mizeh Alzeh, Truma So Truma. Now I'll say, now we're talking about the following. We're talking about the Gavi Truma. So remember, the halacha is that when you take Truma, you're supposed to take Truma from the same Min. So for example, let's say I have apple orchard and orange will grow in an orchard, grove, right? So the halacha is, as much as they're all my field, I am not supposed to, you can't tithe apples from oranges or oranges from apple. You have to tithe from one min. What the Gemara says over here is that wine and vinegar are min echotu. And therefore, if you took truma for wine from vinegar, or truma for vinegar from wine, such a truma ultimately works. So also see yain v'chometz min echotu. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, shnei minin. And Rebbe says, ultimately again, no, there are two different meanings. So therefore, I will say, the Gemara suggests over here that our Mishnah, which says that if I sold Reuven wine and it turns out that it was vinegar, both of us have the ability to void the sale. Why? Why, Rabbi Osai? Because it turns out I sold him the wrong min. Therefore, that reflects the view of Rebbe. But according to the Rabbanon of the opinion, that's what Rabbi Osai, that it's minechot. The Rabbanon would say that wine and vinegar are the same thing. V'haraya, I could tithe wine from vinegar and vinegar from wine. I would assume, therefore, according to the Rabbanon, if I sold Reuven wine and it turned out to be vinegar, then what? Then what? Because they're the same min, neither of us would have the ability to void the sale. To which the Gemara says, no. I feel the Rabbanon. You know, you're mixing and matching right now. Our Mishnah could reflect the view of the Rabban as well. Ad kan lo pligi Rabbanan lid Rebbe ela le'inyan meiser truma. We'll say it's different. The Rabbanan shita, that wine and vinegar are the same thing, is a shita that's espoused where? By where?
Truma.
By truma. Why? We'll say because by truma there's a separate halacha. So how do I know that even though I'm not supposed to do it, how do I know that if I separated inferior produce as a tithe for superior produce, that it works? The Pasuk says, you shall not bear an iniquity, right? You shall not bear a sin when separating out your truma, right? How? As long as you as long as you raise the chelbo, the chelib, the best. In other words, Torah is telling me that when you separate out truma, you should only separate out the best, which is another way of also saying you should only be turned from one min from the other. So the Gemara says, "Eino kadosh nisias chet lam." And here's what's interesting: the fact that the Torah says you shall not bear a sin, therefore separate out only the best produce on your as your truma tells you that what, that even if you separated out inferior produce, you did something wrong. But what? But it works. Suppose that it's a very interesting thing in halacha. Sometimes you could do something illegal and it works. Sometimes you could do something illegal and it doesn't work. So the halacha Rabosai is that when separating out truma, two things. Number one, you should only separate out truma from the same min, from the very item that you're tithing. So for example, you shouldn't go ahead and separate out produce B as truma for produce A. Similarly in produce A, you should only separate out the best fruits as truma, not inferior fruits. But if you did either of those things, as much as you've engaged in illegal activity, your separation of truma ultimately still works. In Eino Kadosh Nesiyos Chet Lama, because we'll say if ultimately the designation doesn't work, then ultimately why would there be iniquity for my act of separating inferior produce? Mikan Latori Minara Alayofa Shetruma Sotruma. Therefore, we'll say, what do you see from here? That even if you separate out inferior produce as truma on superior produce, the designation works. So Rabbi Osai, this is dafka din by truma. Aval inyan mekach u'memkar. When it comes to actual commerce, the kulei alma ika denechali bechamra velo nechali bechala v'ika denechali bechala velo nechali bechamra. So Rabbi Osai, so the Gemara says like this: even the rabbanon who say by truma that if you ended up separating out what, you ended up separating out vinegar as truma on wine, or wine as truma on vinegar, that'll work. Why will that work according to the Rabbanon? And why Rabbosai? Because first of all, they're the same family, and the Torah itself, according to Rabbanon, makes an allowance, even though you're not supposed to do it. But if you ended up separating out inferior produce as truma for superior produce, it works. So the Rabbanon will say, in that case, if you separated out vinegar as truma on wine, it works. But Rabbosai, that is not true when it comes to commerce. Because when it comes to commerce, Rabbosai, what? What? If I buy something, what am I buying? Right? I'm buying the item I stipulated for. I'm not buying something in the... Rabbosai, can you imagine? Right? Can you imagine, by the way, if business was conducted in a way where I purchase item A and a seller sells me B, he says, but don't worry about it. It's in the family, right? It's in the parasha. You bought a three-family home, a three-bedroom home. It's one bedroom. But one bedroom is nichlal and three bedrooms, right? You can make a whole chakira. It's like it's as big as three bedrooms. Can't do that. Well, say business only works when people contract for specific items and they are delivered specific items. Therefore, even the Rabbanon who say that if you go out and you separate out vinegar on wine for truma, it works, that's only because there's greater latitude by truma. But they would agree that in the world of business, if you contract to buy wine and you get vinegar, then what people say? That is a voidable transaction. So therefore, again, the Mishnah reflects a view of everyone. Beautiful. New Mishnah. Hamoch HaPeres L'Chavero. Most a new case. I sell fruit to my friend. I sell fruit to Reuven. So what happens? Rabbosai, Moshach velo madad. Kana. If Reuven did Meshicha, which Rabbosai literally is, like he pulled the fruit towards him, he did Meshicha, but he did not measure the fruit. Now, Rabbosai, now the Rashbam sets up the case. This is actually going to introduce to us a whole variety of very interesting cases. Look at the first Rashbam in the Mishnah. Hamoch HaPeres L'Chavero, U'pasak lo damim v'shar ha'yedua, Kalefa b'kach, U'mashach higon b'simta b'chatzah shal shneim kona, V'af api shalom madad, D'medida lo ma'akva, D'ina ela gilui milsa ba'alma. Kama, Machar. So Bosa, listen to this. So Rashbam says of the case. Under normal circumstances, the way I would purchase produce would be the following. I go over to Reuven. I say, Reuven, sell me 10 bushels of apples for $20 a bushel. So normally I would do two things, right? So we set the price. I would normally measure out the apples. Give them the money, do the Meshicha. So the case of the Mishnah over here is, we set the price. I did Meshicha, I'm the purchaser. I did Meshicha, but what? I never measured the produce. So what's the halacha? Kana. Both say the transaction is binding. In other words, what is the Mishnah teaching me? That the act of measuring, as much as it's important, is not a necessity, is not a transactional necessity. The transaction still stands even without the measuring. Well, so obviously, if it turns out that's what? That there are only 9 bushels instead of 10 bushels, of course, I have recourse. But what it's saying over here is the measuring is not necessary for transactional solidification. Stephen, anything? No, I'm just asking you to tell me was a good line. Good line. All right, thank you. Says the Gemara, good. So I'm not questioning. I'm just sorry. So says the Gemara the following. So rule number one, therefore, is what? Rule number one is therefore, and again, Rashman points out, said, it's only if the price was set, I did meshicha, I just didn't do medida. I did not measure the produce, transaction is done. However, madad v'lo masha, said, listen to this case. What if the price was set, I measured the produce, but I didn't do meshicha, I didn't take it towards me, then lo kana. Then Rabbi said, obviously that doesn't work, because Rabbi said, no kinyan. Rabbi said, remember, in order to acquire movable property, you need actual kinyan. Giving money is not enough, right? Ma'os lo konos, we pass, we learn this about Metzia. Money does not acquire movable property, you need a ma'isa kinyan. So the commission is teaching me is, the act of measuring out the produce does not go ahead and acquire the produce for me. Now the Gemara Mishnah says, "Im hayah pikeach, if I was smart, this is the purchaser. If the purchaser was smart, socher es mekoman. What I would do, Rabbi Osai, is what? I would rent the space upon which the produce is situated." Now the Rashbam points out over here, this would be a case of where I'm purchasing produce from Reuven, and we're standing in Reuven's field. If I want to acquire that produce immediately, what would I do, Rabbi Osai? I go ahead and I rent the land upon which the produce is situated. The king in Agav, king in Chatzar, I go ahead, so if I acquire that land, so we'll discuss in the Gemara why that's necessary. Next, halokeach pishton mechavero, if I'm acquiring flax, so the process of acquisition for flax requires me to carry the flax from one place to another. Again, in the Gemara, we'll discuss what this means. What the Mishnah is teaching us over here is that you can have a situation of what we'll call item-specific kinyanim, that different things may be acquired in different ways. If the flax was still attached to the ground, v'talash kol shehu, and I detached any bit of the flax, I have a kukana. Then Rabbi will say, then I have acquired the flax. So again, we'll have to define the scope of this ultimately again in the Gemara. So we'll say, let's go a little bit back. Just a few more minutes. I know that there are people that have to doubt this. It says the Gemara, Amar Abasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Madad v'hiniach al-gavi simta. Let's listen to this case. I am going ahead and I am purchasing, we'll just keep with apples, I'm purchasing produce from Reuven, and we are standing in a simta. In a simta, we will discuss, it's like an overflow area of Rosh Hashanah. I don't know what a common day example this would be. Rosh Hashanah is a public thoroughfare. Simta was like a little alley, or like shoulder, right? Shoulder, is that what it says? Alley, right? No. So alley or shoulder. See, I'm only using alley. Yeah, fine, alley. Alley. So ultimately, I will say, so this is the alley that ultimately, again, flows off the shrabim. Now, why do people use the simta? The simta was often used to carry on conversations as well as to transact business. The beauty of the simta is that it has certain acquisitional powers, as we'll see in just a moment. So the Gemara says the following, Madad v'niach agabi simta. I'm purchasing produce from Reuven. We measured out the produce, and Reuven put it down in the simta. He put it down in the simta. What's the halacha? Kana. I, the purchaser, acquire the produce. Now, Bosan, I take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. The Rashbam says, v'niach agabi simta. No shopping cart. No, we'll discuss shop. We'll discuss kalim. We'll discuss utensils later tomorrow. But right now, I'm putting it down on the ground. So it says the Gemara halokeach. So listen to this. Halokeach ki leniach mocher birshuso shalokeach ukigon shepasak dam. So also listen to this. So the novelty over here, the novelty that Rabasi is saying is that if I'm purchasing produce from Reuven, we set the price, we measure it out, and Reuven places the produce on the simta, I acquire the produce. I acquire the produce. Now the Rashbam just points out over here, he says, V'simta is the amr shvil shal yechidim. So some say it's a pathway of individuals. V'ani shamati knisa boletes mirshus harabim. V'yesh rishus v'bnei adam laha misham chafetim shalam kichas ha'shotvim. So listen to this. The novelty over here is that a simta has certain properties almost like of a rishus hayachid, almost like a private domain. Therefore, I have the ability to use it to acquire. So we'll say, here's what Rav Asi is saying. I am purchasing produce from Reuven. What happens? We set a price. Reuven measures it out. He puts the produce down on the simta. When he puts the produce on the simta, what happens? What happens? I acquire it. As if what, Rav Asi? As if what? As if that simta is my chatzar. Right, that's the novelty over here. That simta, that alleyway off the Rosh Hashanah becomes my chatzar. So we'll listen to this exchange. Amrli Rabbi Zeir Rabbi Asi. So Rabbi Zeir says, Rabbi Asi, Shema lo shama Rabbi, ella b'modi v'soch kupasam. So we'll say, by the way, you hear the beautiful deference in this conversation. So Rabbi Zeir disagrees with Rabbi Asi. He says, Rabbi Asi, perhaps Rabbi, you know, speaking in the right, perhaps Rabbi has only heard this in a case of where Reuven was putting the objects into the utensil of the purchaser. So what Rabbi Zeir is coming along and saying essentially is, Rav Asi, you are dead wrong. The simta cannot acquire like a chaser. So maybe what you heard was the following, that if I'm standing in the simta with Reuven, and Reuven measures out the produce, and puts that produce into what Rav Asi, puts that produce into my, meaning the purchaser's utensils, then I acquire, right? Because the objects are now, the produce is being put into my utensils. Amar Lei, so we'll say Rabbi Asi does not take kindly to Rabbi Zero's input. Amar Lei, Domi Haimi Rabbanan Kidlo Gamri in Shishmaita. This man, I mean, he won't even speak to Rabbi Zeira. This man sounds like someone who never learned a day in his life, right? Why? Madad l'soch kupaso memra boy. So we'll say, because essentially Rabbi Asi says, we don't need a Mishnah to teach us a case, Rabbi Asi, that if a seller takes produce and puts it in the utensils of the purchaser, that of course the purchaser acquires. And I will say, now granted, this is going to be our sugya tomorrow, very exciting. This is going to be our sugya tomorrow. And I will say, essentially what Rabbi Arasi says is, the notion that my utensils acquire on my behalf, that's a davar pashut. That's obvious. I don't need a Mishnah to come and teach me that. The novelty, Rabbi Osei, of Rabbi Asi's ruling is that what? Is that the simta has the ability to acquire on my behalf without my utensils, to which the Gemara says, kibla mine, o lo kibla mine. So we'll say, the Gemara then asks the Kasha, so tell me, was Rabbi Zeira mekabel this from Rabbi Asi or not? Take a look at the Rashbam. Kibla mine, Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Asi, o lo kibla mine. So we'll say, so was Rabbi Zeira mekabel this feedback from Rabbi Asi or not? So we'll say, Rabbi Asi comes along and says that the novelty, the novel ruling is that essentially a simta can become my, meaning the purchaser's chatzar. That's the novelty here. Rabbi Zeira comes along and says, no, it's not true. A simta cannot become the purchaser's chatzar. The novelty is that the purchaser's utensils could acquire in a simta. So I will say, so the shaila now is, was Rabbi Zeira mekabel Rabbi Asi's feedback or not? So we'll go right through it. We're going to go another 5 minutes, then we're going to stop wherever we are. Says the Gemara. So was he mekabel it or not? So the Gemara says, Tashma, Adam Rabbi Yana, I'm Rabbi. Rabbi Yana said, name of Rabbi, Chatzar Shutfin Konin Zemizeh. So we'll say, ultimately, if you have a jointly owned Chatzar, so ultimately, again, the Shutfim have the ability to utilize the real property to acquire one from the other. My lava gabi karko. Are they not, Rabbi, say what? Are they not going ahead? And essentially, both is the Brisa not saying that they both have the ability to use the land to acquire on their behalf? They're both saying, now that would be similar to a simta. Because essentially, what is a simta? A simta is a chatzar shutfin. A simta is jointly owned land. Just who owns it? Who owns it? Everybody. But essentially, the way a simta is activated is pretty much whoever is standing there at that given moment becomes the owner. So this price would seem to back up the idea that if you could both say, if two Shutfin, Reuven and Shimon, both jointly own land. And now what we're saying is that Reuven could convey to Shimon, Shimon could convey to Reuven property using that chutzar. That tells you that jointly owned land could become the property of the one who is using it to acquire. So too, again, this would back up Rabasi's idea that a simta could be used to acquire movable property that is situated on it when the purchaser is standing there. To which the Gemara says, no, that's not what the price is talking about. That chatzra shuts for the case of us is actually talking about a case where ultimately, again, I'm saying if Reuven and Shimon jointly owned property, Reuven wants to give something to Shimon, so now what we're saying is that Reuven could put the item that he wants to convey into the utensil of Shimon, even though what? That utensil is situated on jointly owned property. Hachanai, the sabra, this would appear to be clear. Dam Rabbi Yaakov, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Madat v'hiniach hagabe simta. Ultimately, again, if the seller measured it out and put the item that was going to be sold on the simta, lo kana. Ultimately, again, the purchaser does not acquire it. To which the Gemara says, Kashina adadi. So now we have contradictory brisos. Alalav shmamina kan b'mode v'soch kupaso. Kan bemodir al gabe karko. So I'll say ultimately again, the distinction you have to make is what? The distinction you have to make, Rabosai, is that when do we say that a simta acquires? A simta acquires only when the kalim of the purchaser are situated there. But if the kalim of the purchaser are not there, then what? Then the simta cannot acquire. Therefore, when we said before that a simta acquires on behalf of a purchaser, Rabosai, when is that? When is that? That's when the seller is putting the object into the utensil of the purchaser, and the utensil of the purchaser is situated in the simta. That's when ultimately, again, the purchaser acquires. But if the seller conveys or puts the item being sold directly onto the simta, then what? That simta does not have the ability to acquire on behalf of the purchaser. Shema mina. And indeed, Rabbi says, see from here that what? That Rabbi Zeira did not go ahead and accept the feedback of Ravasi. So both sides, we'll stop over here for today, but just understand kind of where we're leaving off. We're leaving off in the middle of this machlokes. We're leaving off in the middle of this machlokes. The machlokes literally centered on the following idea. Does a simta, which is again the alleyway of the Sarabim, which again is clearly public domain, but not as public as the public domain, a place where people normally transact business, does that simta have the ability to work as a purchaser's chatzar or not? Ravasi says yes, Rabbi Zeira says no. And Rabbi Zeira says the only way the simta could act on your behalf is if you place your utensils in the simta, the seller places the object into your utensil, then the simta could work on your behalf. Shabbos say, Yemir Hashem, we will resolve this machlokes, Yemir Hashem, Mishatov, Mitzlachos, tomorrow. Shkodach.
See you.